WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Our jazz critic Kevin Whitehead is playing and discussing the music of a half dozen modern jazz mavericks in his series Avant-Garde Made Easy. Today, part four, the music of Cecil Taylor. When jazz fans think of Cecil Taylor, they often think of music like that, busy, dissonant, and lightning fast. Taylor was one of the founders of the free jazz movement. He's still active, and 45 years after his debut, is still sometimes accused of being a musical anarchist. Kevin Whitehead says Taylor is a virtuoso pianist who can articulate complex runs so quickly his hands blur before your eyes. But his music has more sides than that.
Cecil Taylor, 1998. He doesn't always breathe fire, but from his earliest, relatively conservative records with swinging rhythm sections, he didn't sound like a typical jazz pianist. On a 1959 version of Cole Porter's Get Out of Town, you can hear glimpses of his mature style ahead. Obsessive variations on tiny figures, sudden shifts between loud and soft notes, and dense chords that reflect his youthful admiration for Dave Brubeck. By 1963, Taylor led a trio without a bassist, and including a drummer whose rhythm was as free as his own, Sonny Murray. But Taylor was still in transition. His left hand might play a simple, if fragmented, riff, while his right scattered notes like confetti. Soon after that, Cecil Taylor really came into his own as pianist, and in terms of developing his material in an individual way. When Taylor rehearses musicians, he may teach them short themes that he never plays verbatim on the gig. Instead, he may stud his improvisations with fragments or suggestions of those themes in any key. You can hear the seeds of that practice on 1966's Unit Structure for Septet. Early on, Taylor plays a themelet, which alto saxophonist Jimmy Lyons immediately paraphrases in a lower key, by which time Taylor has already moved on. Later, Taylor plays various near and far permutations of that figure, which sometimes cue the improvisers to refocus their energy or set off on a new tangent. That brief glimpse only hints at Cecil Taylor's working method. For the curious, there's a detailed analysis of unit structure in Ekkehard Joost's fine book, Free Jazz, which deciphers the musical logic behind the 1960s avant-garde. it can be easier to hear what Taylor is up to on some of his solo recitals. He begins the 1973 album Indent with two almost identical seven-note phrases, the second answering the first. Such call and response has been a staple of African-American music since slaves first shouted to each other across the fields. Taylor works instant variations on those figures, tinkering with the timing, displacing a note, or extending a phrase and gradually transforming it. That's pretty straightforward, by Taylor standards at least. By contrast, his group music grew ever more intense, calling for quick thinking and quick fingers. Taylor and saxophonist Jimmy Lyons, his musical partner from the early 1960s until Lyons died in 1986, had an uncanny way of complementing each other's lines, taking small scraps of melody and running with them. The music sounds frenetic on the surface, but they stayed focused on the material at hand. On this slice of a 1981 concert, the bassist is William Parker, another longtime and reliable collaborator. The drummer is Rashid Bakar. Granted, Cecil Taylor's music can seem intimidating. It's not really so hard to follow, but because he makes up his own rules, it does demand your attention. Some critics dismiss his music as not jazz, as if stuff that doesn't fit neatly into a category is beneath consideration. That's foolish reasoning. But even so, this propulsive, improvisational music, awash in African-American aesthetics, sure sounds like jazz to me.
Kevin Whitehead is currently based in Chicago. This week, Cecil Taylor is Distinguished Artist in Residence at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore.